Appreciate that hymn we sing and for the well-worded prayer. I want to encourage you to have your Bible open to the book of Galatians. Chapter 5 is where we're going to start with our continuing study of the fruit of the Spirit in this 9:30 hour. Let's begin by reading the text, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. As we contemplate a study of the fruit of the Spirit, the first few of the characteristics that we look at, those are more of the headliners, love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And then the middle of the list begins to overlap with some qualities that we don't often look at, but they are here. They're here for a reason. They're a part of what God expects to develop in our lives as we spend time with Him, as we walk in His Spirit, as we imbibe His Word. This fruit is going to be produced. The fifth quality or characteristic here is that of kindness. The King James Version renders it as gentleness. It's going to require us to really understand, to appreciate this characteristic, that of kindness or gentleness. It's going to require us to spend some time with the Greek terms that are used here. So that's what we're going to do. The noun, or the word kindness in our text, is translated from a Greek noun, krestatos. Krestatos is defined as uprightness, generosity, or goodness. Now, what's interesting about this definition of goodness is this is the way Christos is translated about half the time in the New Testament. But what makes it challenging is that as we're studying the fruit of the Spirit, number six is goodness itself, and it's an entirely different Greek word. And we'll look at that the next time we study the fruit of the Spirit. But Christos can be, and about half the time is, translated with the word goodness. Another definition is that Christos is a mild disposition that is merciful to others. Hang on to that definition. A mild disposition and mercy. Another definition is, or a description of this, how it works. The Christian is both delicate and generous in brotherly relations. So if we can pause right there, this word kindness is going to deal with the way we treat one another. And we'll certainly look at that in our brief study here this morning. The Christian is both delicate and generous in brotherly relations, seeking to be useful, considerate, helpful, beneficial, always in an agreeable way. Plummer, in his lexicon, says of Christos that it is the sympathetic kindness or sweetness of temper which puts others at their ease and shrinks from giving pain. So think about that. Kindness is the quality that makes others feel at ease with you. They know that they can approach you. They know that they can come before you and that you will be kind and you will be gentle and you will be merciful in dealing with them. This noun, Christos, appears only 8 verses in the New Testament, all of which were penned by the Apostle Paul. 4 times this noun is used to refer to God's kindness, or it describes a quality of God. The other 4 times, including our text in Galatians 5, it is for Christians. And it is an admonition for us to imitate this quality that is found in God. Along with the noun, Christos, there is also the Greek adjective, krestos. Krestos is defined as being mild or pleasant. It is in contrast to that which is hard, harsh, sharp, or bitter. So again, think about the person who's approachable. Think about the person that you can gladly go before. They are not hard, harsh, sharp, or bitter. Instead, they are mild and they are pleasant. This adjective, this Greek term, is used only 7 times in the New Testament. So as we're studying this attribute of kindness, we've got a limited number of passages that we're looking at. 4 of the 7 times it is used to refer to deity. 2 times it is used to refer to the Christian's character. One of those places is a verse that we're not going to be studying in particular, but it's one that should be familiar to us when we're talking with our young people. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, and we warn them that evil company corrupts good manners. That word good is translated from krestos. So that's one of the 2 places where it is referring to a Christian's character. And the other time that it's used by our Lord in Luke chapter 5, verse 39, in describing wine, as the good wine is better. So again, as we're looking at kindness and what it is and making sure that we're developing it in our lives, we're going to be looking at these handful of verses where this noun and this adjective are used. As we did with long-suffering, let's start and notice that God is kind. God has this attribute of kindness. Our Heavenly Father is the source and the standard for kindness. Romans chapter 11 and at verse 22, Christos is actually used 3 times in this verse. Romans 11 verse 22, therefore consider the goodness, Christos could also be kindness, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. So here's a passage that's calling upon us to consider everything about God, and that our God is capable both of kindness or goodness, but also of severity. Guess who else is? We are. God is like us in this way. We have been created in the image of God. And as God is capable of both, so are we, and both need to be considered in order for us to have a complete understanding of who God is, and with this text in particular, both need to be considered if we are going to be properly motivated and influenced to serve God properly. Yes, we need to consider the severity of God. We don't want to go to hell when we die, but there's more to it than that, much more to it than that. Think about the kindness of God. Think about the goodness of God, the Christos of God. Think about that. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 is another passage talking about the kindness of God or the Christos of God. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Here's a little piece of trivia if you're looking for such. This is the only verse in the Bible where both this noun and adjective are used in the same verse. The noun is used first, Christos, in talking about God, and then the adjective, Christos, is used, that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And so as we think about God's goodness, we think about God's kindness. Remember, despite who we are, despite what we've done, God is kind to us. That should move us to repentance. Remember what the prodigal did in Luke chapter 15. When he finally came to himself, he remembered how kind his father was to his own servants back in the house. And that led the prodigal to go back home, to repent, to go back to God. And we're called upon to do the same thing. Contemplate, think about the kindness of God, the goodness of God. That is one thing that God uses to bring about repentance. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, this is Luke's account of a teaching we're more familiar with from Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, it's found in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says we are to love even our enemies. But here's Luke's rendering of this teaching. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. So here is, again, one of the rare uses of Christos. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He is not returning like for like. but for those who benefit from his blessings and then return with ingratitude, he continues to show that kindness. To those who take God's blessings and then continue to do evil, God still shows his kindness. How do we know that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil? Well, the fact that the unthankful and the evil are still breathing air, are still living, is proof that God abounds in kindness. God is kind with them. So God's kindness is shown in the fact that we continue to live physically, that we have everything that we need in order to live physically. But God's kindness also is shown ultimately in the fact that God has taken care of everything that we need spiritually. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, but when the kindness, here's our Greek term, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God saw us in our sin. He took notice of our plight, and he was moved with mercy. Where did that mercy come from? Remember our definition for Christos. It is that attitude, that disposition that is merciful to others. So God's mercy has come from his kindness. The disposition that he's merciful to others, and that definition continued, shrinking from giving pain. So instead of giving us the pain that our sin called for, God, when he was moved with his kindness and his mercy, he put his plan of salvation into effect. He didn't give us what we deserved. Instead, he gave us an opportunity for salvation. So God's kindness is seen in the fact that we continue to live and have everything we need in this physical life, in this physical world, and we know that God is prepared for our souls as well, moved with his kindness. So we have that hope, we have that assurance of salvation here and now, but his kindness is also going to be experienced and praised for eternity. Again, the word shows up in Ephesians chapter 2 and at verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So we benefit from God's kindness, from his compassion, from his mercy, and the fact that we live physically and have everything we need physically. We have salvation. We know that our sins are forgiven and we can be saved and for eternity in heaven. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we will continue to experience and benefit from God's kindness for all of eternity. So God the Father is kind, but also God the Son is kind. And it's going to be found in a verse that, I've got to be honest with you, I didn't realize it was there until I did this study. And I went and I dug in and I looked at the Greek term as it is used. The adjective, krestos, is used. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus extends what we refer to as the great invitation. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, Heath, how did you find kindness here in this passage? I don't read the word kind, and I don't even read the word good here. Well, it's in verse 30. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, that is translated from the Greek term krestos. Remember, there is that idea of, it's the opposite of harsh, the opposite of hard, the opposite of bitter. What Jesus is doing in extending this invitation, he's saying to the Jews there, you're now bearing under a yoke of sin, and the consequences of your sin are harsh. They are hard. It's heavy laden. It's grievous. And not only that, but on top of that, were all the traditions and the requirements that the Jewish leaders were packing on top. He said, that yoke, that burden is too heavy. You come unto me and I'll give you relief because I am kind. I am kind. I am merciful. I'm compassionate. And the yoke that you will bear from me is easy, krestos, and my burden is light. I have the pictures up here because some time back I was teaching the young people about this passage and mentioned the yoke, and young people didn't know what I was talking about. So we need to go visit the farm again to learn about this. The implement that is illustrated here on the left, the picture on the right shows how it works. This would be an implement that would be put over the necks of two oxen. And they would be yoked together, but they weren't yoked together to stand in the field on display. They're yoked together to work, to carry. And Jesus is saying, you're yoked, and the burden that you're carrying from the Jewish leaders is too heavy. My yoke is light. It is easy. It is krestos. It is kind. And those of us who've been Christians for any amount of time at all, we know that our Savior is kind. Another passage is the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, krestos. And again, in this room, there are Christians who have been Christians long enough. We've tasted, we know personally of the kindness of our Savior. We also know of His severity. We know of both. But we know of His kindness. We have tasted that. And we do know that our Lord is kind and good and gracious. So what do we learn of deity? Deity, God the Father, God the Son are both kind. If we're spending time with God the Spirit and we're learning from God the Spirit how we are to live, then it's only natural that we're going to learn kindness. We're going to learn that God expects us to be kind. We're going to learn how to develop kindness in ourselves, and we're going to learn how to show this kindness unto others. There are a couple of passages I want us to consider with this. They're both related. They're both written by Paul in sister epistles, Ephesians and Colossians. Let's start in Colossians chapter 3, where we learn that kindness is a part of the new man that we are to put on. Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 4, which we'll turn to in a second, they both use this figure that in becoming a Christian, we put off the old man of sin. We do. We put him off and we bury him right here in the grave of baptism. We put off that old man, but then we put on a new man. We put on a new man. We are expected to live a certain way. Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 8, but now you are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Lying, the next verse says, we're to put all of that off, and what are we to put on? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, there's our word, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. The sister passage in Ephesians chapter 4, again, tells us we're to put off the old man, put off that sin, and here are some things that we are to put on. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's stop right here, and let's pause and let's look at the first phrase in this verse. Be kind to one another. The world would say, be kind to yourself, right? And we could expand this and we could say, as the world does, be kind to everyone. And we see that now. We've got the slogan showing up on bumper stickers and T-shirts and yard signs, be kind, be kind. Well, they're 2,000 years behind. Our Lord was saying it in the first century. The apostles were preaching it in the first century. Be kind. But here, Christians, be kind to one another. In the local church, we are to be kind. We are to show kindness to one another. And then go back to that first slide where we had all those definitions and all those words involved there. Being compassionate, being gracious, being easy to be around, being merciful, being forgiven, forgiving. Do our brethren feel at ease in our presence? Think about that. Think about that. Whenever you walk into the room, are your brethren glad that you're there, or do they kind of pull themselves together and they're on guard because now you're here? And how are you going to be acting? And how are you going to be reacting? Are you kind? Do your brethren feel at ease in your presence? Do they feel that they can draw close to you? Isn't that one of the qualifications of an elder? Easily entreated? Elders have to be approachable. Guess what? We all have to be approachable. We all have to be kind. We all have to have that attitude that people can feel comfortable coming to us, comfortable in our presence, that they can draw close to us. Are we pleasant? Or do brethren find us to be harsh and sharp and bitter? Someone says, well, now that's just the way I am. See, that's the way I was raised, and if you understand my childhood, then you'd understand why I'm harsh and why I'm abrasive. Well, that's the color of my hair. Isn't there one hair pigment that gives people supposedly a license to be sharp and rude? No, there's not. Here's the thing. Someone says, well, that's just the way I am. Then that means there's something there you need to work on and repent of. No, we have to be kind to one another. We can't be harsh and sharp and bitter. Are we forgiving of our brethren? Are we quick to forgive? Do we forgive and forget? Are we understanding of our brethren? Sympathetic of our brethren? Are we kind? Be kind to one another. And then look at the verse as it continues. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, there's plenty of reasons for us to be forgiving to one another, but the one that Paul sets forth here is the fact that we've received forgiveness from God through Christ. Were we deserving of that? No, we weren't. What motivated God to do that? Christos. He's kind. He's kind to us, and so he, at a great expense to himself, a great cost to himself, sent his son to die for us so that we can be forgiven. Now, since God has forgiven us, that is the reason that we are to forgive one another. Hang on to that. Hang on to that idea that we're treating one another the way God has first treated us. Hang on to that. I want to wrap this up by going back to the definition that we had for the words Christos and Christos. God expects us to be upright, generous, good, merciful, considerate, helpful, tender, and compassionate. All of these terms, all of these ideas are all summed up in the word kindness that is found in our text, in the fruit of the Spirit. William Barclay was not a Christian, but he was a commentator and a Greek scholar, and he has to say of Christos. He says, Christian kindness is a lovely thing, and its loveliness comes from the fact that Christian kindness means treating others in the way in which God has treated us. Remember, I said, hang on to that idea. We forgive because God has forgiven us. What's a good motive for us in the way that we treat others, the way we live? Oftentimes we refer to the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 and at verse 12. The golden rule says that we are to treat others the way we want to be treated. And if we would do that, things would generally go well. What I want to challenge you with this week, as we've been looking at kindness and developing kindness, I want to challenge you to look at treating your brethren and treating others differently. Instead of treating others the way you want to be treated, why don't you and I this week work on treating others the way God has treated us. Let's work on that. That's a challenge. It is to me. Let's be kind. Let's develop kindness in our hearts, and let's show kindness to one another. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to study from your word and to be challenged by this characteristic and attribute that you have and that you've shown to us, that your Son displayed and offered while he was here upon this earth, and that your Spirit leaves in his word as we strive to walk and to follow you. Help us to truly appreciate kindness and to be kind, to strive to have that to be our first response to others, and to show and to manifest kindness in our lives and in this congregation and in the world today. We're thankful for your kindness and for the mercy and the forgiveness that it has brought to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're now dismissed to our classes.